From the Lend Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of July, 2024. I'm Extension's Tuck Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dave Chatterton. We'll hear from the state statisticians, get crop progress and conditions from them across Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana. We'll discuss the size of the corn crop in Brazil with Joanna Caluzzi and take a quick look at the weather forecast, too, with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne and Wyoming on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn for the day settled at $3.95¾, up 5¼ cents. December at $4.08¾, 4½ higher. And March at $4.22, up 4¼. September beans, $10.37¾, up 4. November up 3¼ at $10.43¼. And the bean meal futures $1.60 higher. The bean oil up 28 cents. Wheat futures soft red December, down a penny at $5.55½. The hard red December at $5.67, 5¼ cents lower. Live cattle futures finished at $184.52½, up 72½ cents per 100 pounds. Feeder cattle at $258.62½, down 15. And lean hogs were $2.42½ higher at $72.20. That in the October contract. Crude oil, $80.64 a barrel, down $1.27. The diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.48¾, up 4¼ cents. And gasoline at $2.44¼, just about 2 cents higher on this Tuesday afternoon. Dave Chatterton now joins us from Strategic Farm Marketing here in Champaign to talk about the marketplace, Ag Energies, and the trade in Chicago. At least it's a turnaround Tuesday. Ender's green on the board today as it relates to the price of corn and soybeans. Dave, what has happened in the marketplace since yesterday?
Yeah, Todd, as you mentioned, a little bit of turnaround Tuesday here, and not a lot of big fresh news breaking, but we did get the crop ratings that came out, the weekly condition ratings that came out from the USDA on Monday afternoon. They were unchanged. We had expected a little bit of an increase. I think that kind of helped get the ball rolling just a little bit here. And of course, we're certainly watching, and the market is trying to assess what, if any, damage came from the storms that rolled across, you know, eastern Iowa and into our part of northern and central Illinois and even northern Indiana last night. The derecho word was being used. We have on our crop insurance side here in the office turned in a handful of wind claims today. Nothing really that would indicate there's a big serious problem, but I think there's some concern about that going forward. And certainly these markets are just oversold enough that, you know, a little bit of a bounce is not out of play. I don't see much to work with here in terms of a change in the forecast or any hot, dry conditions coming in here. I think you can say that prices where they're at or where they've been certainly encapsulate a lot of the bearish news here, and the idea that, you know, the yield ideas have gone up, carry out ideas may be going up just a little bit. But I'll also reflect that, you know, we just at this particular point probably don't have a lot of room in these yield estimates as far as tolerating any additional downside. So we're in a kind of unique position here. The funds have been willing to continue to add the short positions up to this point, even though they hold what are either at or very, you know, are or are near record short positions. So interesting for this time of year, and, you know, weather is starting to move to the sideline here, and kind of interesting for the middle of July.
Just a quick FYI, NOAA has classified last night's storm as a derecho officially. Now, let's stay with the marketplace for just a bit. Farmers, I assume, are really concerned about these low prices for both old and new crop. Is there anything that you can give to them that is consoling at all?
Well, Todd, I hope they have good crop insurance, and I hope they switch their ARC PLC coverage to ARC. From that point forward, I think, you know, looking at these markets, I don't know that we can be overly hopeful. Certainly, there has been a lot of bearish news pounded into these markets, and, you know, we're seeing yield estimates right now that in the private sector from the analysts that essentially match or are within a bushel of where the USDA projections are, and those are record yield projections. So, having kind of priced all that in, I think effectively the question is, you know, how much lower can we go? And maybe, you know, how big is big? In other words, how big can these, you know, fund positions get? How big can these yield ideas get? And at this point, we've kind of painted ourselves into a corner where if there is any, you know, any threat to those yield ideas as they stand today. I think we're going to have a very quick and sharp recovery. Funds are, you know, at these record short positions. But having said that, you know, sentiment here has been, and I think remains negative, and igniting that short covering rally either has to come in the form of weather adversity or, you know, or I think ideas of maybe large Chinese purchases all of a sudden showing up in the U.S. corn and soybean, you know, export sales. And not sure either one of those are in the recipe right now, but we'll keep an eye out. In the meantime, I think farmers have to be very cognizant of, you know, taking small victories and taking small rallies where they can. And it wouldn't be unusual at all for us to get a little bit of a relief rally here. But I think you want to be, from a marketing perspective, and particularly cognizant of your logistics in the fall and where and how much grain you're going to need to move, where and how much you can store, and what that means in terms of what you need to get sold between now and harvest. And, you know, basis is offering an opportunity to get some of this old crop, you know, out of the bin and into the producer's hands, whether we price futures now or whether you wait for a little bit of a pop. But, you know, a new crop, I think your window is getting very narrow here, Todd, and you have to be very disciplined and, you know, look at the holistic picture, as we mentioned, and, you know, look at where your crop insurance, you know, guarantees are at, on a revenue and a yield basis. Look at where you think your government, you know, program projections may be, and any ad hoc things. We're in an election year, and I don't know what all might get thrown against the wall here, but certainly the ag economy is going to be a subject for the campaign as we go further into the session here.
Yeah, just as a quick reminder on that, crop insurance payments will come after the harvest. However, the ARC PLC payments are delayed by a year, so this fall there will be payments, or could be payments, from last fall. However, the payments that would be pertaining to the crop from this year won't come until the fall of 2025. On the fall of this year and controlling prices and destiny, relatively speaking, is there anything on the ag energy side or maybe the diesel fuel side as it relates to inputs that producers need to be concerned or working through?
Yeah, Todd, it's an interesting subject. I think, you know, one thing that's concerned us here a little bit when we look at new crop, and, you know, in our group, we've been making some 25 corn sales a year and trying to do it in some premium ways that get us a decent floor out there. But we haven't seen the decline in inputs really kick in yet anywhere except for the fuels. And fuels right now, diesel fuel is down about 20 cents from the high that we made here early in the month. We've got crude oil kind of stuck in this, we'll call it this 80 to 85 range. The bigger range for the year so far has been 75 to 95. We're kind of right in the middle of that. But we've been on the downstroke here a little bit of late here in the energy markets. And part of that, most of that has to do with economic concern and really around China. And China has slowed their growth rates. You know, we had their GDP, their retail sales out here today, slow with GDP in the last five quarters. And it looks like, you know, with OPEC still holding things back, with the, I guess, the pendulum or the betting odds, we'll say, swinging in favor of Trump for the election in the fall, the implication there is that, you know, drill, baby, drill, or that, you know, more oil supply will become available. I think, you know, it's a little bit of a soft tone here looking forward. So we're kind of a hands-off mode right now, whether it be diesel fuel or propane for the fall. But, you know, we'll be looking and trying to find a spot later this, you know, late this summer or into the early winter to get some stuff booked for 2025.
Thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois. As he mentioned, yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 41% of the corn crop has silked, 8% has entered the dough stage, and 52% of that crop is in good condition, 16% excellent. Those numbers are unchanged from the previous week. 51% of the soybean crop is blooming, 18% has set pods, and 56% of the crop is in good condition, 12% excellent. Combined, those two are the same as last week. However, the excellent category has gone down by 1% this week and up by 1% in the good category. 71% of the winter wheat crop has been harvested. Now here are the statisticians with the updates from their regions.
This is Michaela Kasparkova. Most of the state received below normal rainfall and experienced mild temperatures. These conditions allowed Iowa farmers 5.1 days suitable for field work, topsoil moisture condition rated 0% very short, 6% short, 84% adequate, and 10% surplus. Corn silking or beyond reached 44%. Corn crop in the dough stage reached 6%, 5 days ahead of the average. Corn condition rated 74% good to excellent. Soybean crop blooming reached 50%, 3 days behind last year. Soybean setting pods reached 12%, 1 day behind last year, but equal to the 5-year average. Soybean condition rated 72% good to excellent. Hay condition rated 78% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 71% good to excellent. Some pastures remain flooded, and where floodwaters have receded, some pastures are covered in silt. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Michaela Kasparkova.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were cooler than average and rainfall was above normal for the second week in a row across Illinois. Rainfall averaged 1.93 inches, more than 1.1 inches above normal. Eastern parts of the state had the highest rainfall totals. 66% of soybean acres are now blooming compared to 55% 1 year ago and 40% normally. 28% of acres are setting pods compared to 9% for the 5-year average. Soybean conditions improved and were rated 6% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 73% good to excellent. 62% of corn acres are silking compared to 58% 1 year ago and 45% for the 5-year average. 8% of acres have reached the doe stage. Corn conditions also improved and were rated 7% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 73% good to excellent. Pasture conditions improved and were rated 6% very poor to poor, 16% fair, and 78% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus. Last week saw rain showers over most of the state with some hot and dry conditions later in the week. Livestock were doing well with no issues reported. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 0% very short, 2% short, 52% adequate, and 46% surplus. Corn silking reached 16%, that's 5 days behind last year and 2 days behind the 5-year average. Corn condition was rated 58%, good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 46%, that's 7 days behind last year and 2 days behind the 5-year average. Soybean setting pods reached 7%, that's 8 days behind last year and 4 days behind the 5-year average. Soybean condition was rated 58%, good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Nathaniel Warnsky, USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, state statistician for Indiana. Winter wheat harvest progress remained ahead of schedule as it approached completion. Topsoil moisture levels increased from the previous week with 80% rated adequate or surplus. Consistent rainfall and sporadic strong winds caused minor crop damage, down branches, and ponding for some. Corn silking and soybean blooming progress continued well ahead of their respective 5-year averages. Corn and soybean condition remained stable, with both crops rated at 67% good to excellent condition. Winter wheat harvest neared completion. Other activities for the week included storm damage repairs and roadside mowing. This is Nathaniel Warnsky, state statistician for Indiana, USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. We're now joined by Joanna Colusi. She's a member of the Farm Doc team, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, to find her latest article about the size of the Brazilian corn crop posted there. Thank you, Joanna, for joining us to discuss this article. I appreciate it greatly. This is the time of year when producers here in the United States are watching their crop and thinking about that second crop or Safrinha corn crop that's coming out of Brazil and what it might look like and the consequences there. To begin with, though, I'd like to have you go through portions of your article. You began with the total size of all three corn crops that are coming out of Brazil. Can you talk to me about that for this season?
Sure. Hey, Todd, thanks for having me in our radio show. It's always a pleasure to be here. Brazilian farmers are expected to harvest 4.6 billion bushels of corn in the current season, including the country's first, second, and third crops. This total would be 12% less than last year's record harvest of 5.2 billion bushels, according to the last report from the National Supply Company, CONAB. The expected reduction in total corn production is mainly because of smaller acreage and lower yields in the second crop, the safrinha, which accounts for about 75% of the national production. The total planted area for the first, second, and third crops is expected to fall by 6% to 51 million acres. Yields have dropped by 6% to 88 bushels per acre. Even with this challenge, this season's crop is still set to be the second largest Brazil has ever seen. At this moment, just to provide you some background, around 70% of the harvest of the second crop, the safrinha, had been completed by the second week of July.
How do the estimates from the United States Department of Agriculture compare to the CONAB estimates? And that's the agency within Brazil that is most closely linked or looks most like the USDA.
Yeah, that's a good question, because in the last months, we have seen that CONAB and USDA differ in their projections, not just for corn, but for soybean production in Brazil as well. Like I have mentioned, CONAB estimates the crop, the total crop, at 4.6 billion bushels, while in its report on July 12, the USDA projected the crop would be 4.8 billion bushels. There is a difference at least for 200 million bushels. Difference in forecasting methods may explain this difference between USDA and CONAB, similar to what has been observed in soybean production in Brazil. Also, some private analysts estimate different numbers. For example, AgroConsult, a private Brazilian consultancy, recently raised its forecast for the 2023-24 crop season, the current crop season, to 4.9 billion bushels, closer to that of the USDA.
Finally, last year, Brazil took the number one spot as the world's largest corn exporter. It appears that title should come back to the United States this season. What circumstances led to Brazil's leadership in that year, and what's changed this year?
So there are some factors that led Brazil in number one in corn exports. Brazil has increased production in the last years, especially regarding the safrinha, the second crop. Also, Brazil has improved export capacity through northern ports, through Amazon River, and also made a phytosanitary agreement with China in late 2022. In 2023, China became the main destination for Brazilian corn. All of these chains or these movements have made Brazilian corn costs competitive relative to U.S. to many export destinations. But this year, we have a different scenario. Brazil is expected to reduce its shipments. Corn exports are forecast in 2024 at 1.3 billion bushels, that means from January to December. It is a 38% decrease from the record shipments of 2.1 billion bushels in the same period last year. Brazilian corn exports are projected to fall because of weaker demand from China this year and also higher competition with the United States and Argentina. After a very poor 2023 harvest under a third consecutive La Niña, maybe you remember that, Argentina farmers have seen better results in the current crop season, although initial record projections were frustrated by the emergence of a corn stunt disease. But anyway, currently, Brazil is the leading supplier of corn to China, account for about 20% of all shipments. However, Argentina has the potential maybe to take over this position. Cargos of Argentina corn have been shipped to China recently, making the first such exports in 15 years. In June last year, Argentina completed steps to get approval from Beijing to access the Chinese market for its corn, following one agreement on sanitary requirements last year. So the path that Argentina is doing is very similar to what Brazil did 2 years ago.
Joanna, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. That's Joanna Colucci. She's a member of the FarmDoc team and penned an article that you can find on the FarmDoc Daily website today or at willag.org, either one, along with Gary Schnicki and Nick Paulson. Look for the headline that includes Brazil's corn harvest declines. Donde from Day Weather is out of the office this afternoon, but left us, nonetheless, an update of the weather forecast for the Corn Belt.
For the middle of July, it's not going to be getting hotter. It's going to be getting cooler. The nation's midsection is going to see temperatures over the next week actually go below average for several days. In fact, temperature readings, which are going to be well into the 80s, may only be upper 70s and lower 80s. Over a lot of the Corn Belt later this week through the weekend and into early next week, well below average by as much as 5 to 9 degrees in many areas. This is all due to a jet stream pattern that's going to get stuck with the heat in the far west and southwestern United States, but you get to the nation's midsection and east, the jet stream is actually going to be taking a dip out of central Canada, and this will lead to the cooler than average temperatures. When it comes to rainfall, best rain chances will be in the southern areas. Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, into southern areas of Illinois, southern Indiana, southern Ohio will be the most wet. But you get up north, along and north of the Interstate 80 corridor, conditions are going to be drier.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like. Just click and play from our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find the daily programming, along with a way to subscribe to each of those programs as a podcast, and also information from the agricultural economist, the crop scientist, and the animal scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.